We could turn perhaps to John's Gospel. Gospel according to John in chapter 10. And verse 7, Jesus said, therefore, said again to them, Verily I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter by me, in by me, he shall be saved, and shall go in, and shall go out, and shall find pasture. Verse 13, now he who serves for wages flees, because he serves for wages, and is not concerned himself about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and am known of those that are mine, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold, those also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On this account the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. I have received this commandment of my Father. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. I and the Father are one. Perhaps we could just read a verse or two in the Psalm. Psalm 23. Well known. Psalm 23, Psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of days. These scriptures are well known. We need perhaps to read scripture carefully, because often we miss perhaps choice bits in scripture because it's so well known and we just take a verse for granted. But I trust the Lord might help us and draw near to us and give us a fresh sense of what he is as the good shepherd. And, you know, the Lord is presented in many ways in scripture, and we want to understand the way the Lord presents himself, because he would speak to us. You know, we were reading this afternoon about the Lord Jesus speaking to his Father. You can almost listen as you read that chapter. It's chapter 17. You can almost listen to the Lord speaking to his Father. It's a beautiful chapter. But here in chapter 10, the Lord is speaking to us. And so we want to listen. You young people want to listen. We all want to listen, because the Lord is speaking to us about himself. How good it is to listen to what the Lord has to say about himself. And he's speaking about himself as the good shepherd. Beautiful touch, really. You know, in other parts of scripture, the Lord is spoken of as the lamb that was referred to this afternoon in Exodus 12, and in other places right through to Revelation. Lord Jesus is spoken of as the lamb, the lamb of God. Beautiful way in which the Lord Jesus is spoken of. John the Baptist, someone referred to that this afternoon, how he could see the Lord coming to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he speaks later about seeing the Lord Jesus coming, you know. "Behold, the Lamb of God." He's also spoken in Scripture as the King. You know, he is the King. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How wonderful the Saviour is. The lowly Jesus, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's also presented as the true servant in Scripture. And he's also the one that could say to his own, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He says, "Come unto me." I trust we've all come to Jesus, you know. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Yeah, that's like the gospel, isn't it? "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart." That's the true shepherd, you know. He's meek and lowly in heart. But I was thinking as we sang that hymn, that it says that he laid down his life in their stead. And that's just the gospel, really. That's what was due to you and to me as sinners away from God. The Lord Jesus has taken it on himself. And he laid down his life in their stead. We were due for eternal punishment, for death. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus, he laid down his life. It's what occupied us today, you know, from the very beginning. When we were together this morning, he laid down his life. You begin there in your soul history that he laid down his life in our stead. You young people, you know how wonderful the Saviour is. The one that took on our place. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And there's no one like him. What a glorious Saviour he is. And we all need him. What we have in John 10 is the Lord Jesus speaking to us of himself. He was speaking to his own. He was speaking to persons about himself. When you come to Psalm 23, you find it's one who's trusted the Saviour in type, really, who's speaking about his experience, about this wonderful Saviour. And that's what I wanted just to speak about, is the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who would bring us, enfold us, bring us into the wonderful flock of God tonight, the one who would stimulate our hearts and affections in relation to this glorious person. And what he says in this, he said, "I've come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." And then he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now you might say, why did he have to do that? Why did the Lord Jesus have to lay down his life? There was no need for him to come and lay down his life. But it was on our account. It's the essence, we might say, of God's glad tidings, is that one man, blessed man, has stooped from the glory. Down from the glory came God's blessed Son, lost ones to save. Lost ones to save. Went into death, you know. Went into death, and the victory won. Triumphant, rose from the grave. And he's mighty, mighty to save tonight. And we all need to come into the gain of the good shepherd who's given his life for the sheep. What a presentation it is. The Lord speaks of himself in the early part of the chapter as being the door. And there's only one door, you know. There's only one way in. And God would present Christ tonight as the only way in. And the Lord said, if anyone enter in, you know, he can be saved. Wonderful thing to get to be saved, to know your sins forgiven, to have peace with God, the God whom we've sinned against. How necessary it is, how necessary the preaching is, that God would present Christ to men in view of their acceptance, and to find that that every sin has been washed away. Precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. You may say, well, you've heard it before. We don't want to exactly drive it home. God doesn't do that. He presents Christ as the one that's taken your place and my place at Calvary. He's borne sin's heavy load, and we want to come into the gain of that. That's the wonder of the gospel, that however young we may be, we can come into the gain, or old we may be, we can come into the gain of what the Lord Jesus has done at Calvary. He laid down his life in their stead. That involves so much. There's a fullness in that verse, you know, that he laid down his life in their stead when we couldn't do a thing to help ourselves. We were on the course, I suppose, as born as we are in sin and shape and iniquity. We're on the road, really, to death and to destruction. But the Lord Jesus came in, and he stood in the breach, and he's the mediator of God of men. God and man is the man Christ Jesus. There's one that has come in and taken our place. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to realize. You know, you come to it. It may not be always in our young years that we come to it, but it's a good thing when we do. We come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And the presentation is always beautiful, you know, the presentation of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's a very encouraging, it's very comforting. It's whatever way you present Christ, really, it's very attractive because he's such a glorious person. And the older you get, you know, the more you find that how great he is. And yet he's not beyond us, you see. He's come so near to us. And in this scripture, the Lord would just show to us himself as the good shepherd who cares about you. You know, people say sometimes, even children say sometimes, nobody cares about me. But you know, the Lord cares about us. He does. And he cares about us so much that he died for us. He came all the way from Calvary down to this earth to die, to suffer and to die. And there he was, put on the cross by wicked hands, and crucified and slain. But more than that, dear hearer, that he took our place. He removed the distance that lay between us and God. He's put it all away. If we trust in him, we come into the gain of it. And so the Lord Jesus, he says, the good shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep. He speaks about those who serve for wages. You know, there's other ways that men may speak about the way you can get to salvation, but there's only one way. And the Lord is very clear about that in this scripture. He says, he who serves for wages and who's not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and he flees. And the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. Now he says that I am the good shepherd, and I am known of those that are mine. Then lower down, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. I think the gospel is wonderful. It's a certain certainty about the gospel which you need to have in your own soul, that you're secure, and that no one can take you out of the hand of the Lord Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. So that the Lord in this scripture, he said, I doubt, in verse 15, he says, I am known of those that are mine, and as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I think it's a beautiful presentation of the Lord Jesus going into death, that he could say himself, I lay down my life. When you come to the remembrance of the Lord Jesus at the supper, the Lord Jesus says, my body, he presents it that way, my body for you. It's the same line of things, that he died for us and that he laid down his life in their stead. It's a thing that should affect us, I think, as long as we're down here. You know, we should be affected by the fact that he laid down his life in their stead. If we're enjoying any measure of blessing from the hand of God, you know, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, we should thank him every day that he laid down his life in our stead. We haven't come into it because we were worthy. We haven't come into it because we did good deeds, because we couldn't do any. We've only come into it because we're sinners saved by grace. Sinners who've repented towards God. You know, there's the need of repentance. We need to feel our sinnership. We need to feel that we're lost. I was thinking about Luke 15, you know, and there's it presents the side of the shepherd, you know, really having 100 sheep, and one he lost one, and he was so concerned about it. You think of the interest of divine persons even in a meeting like this. You think of the interest of God wherever the gospel is being preached tonight. You think of one soul being gone out of the way, like you get in Luke 15, and the shepherd, he goes after the sheep until he finds it. When he finds it, you know, he does everything. You know, it's just like Luke 10, isn't it, that he puts it on his own beast there and carries it to the inn. The shepherd will do everything, puts it on his own shoulders in Luke 15, and carries it home, you know, and is rejoicing in heaven. Well, what a gospel it is, what a saviour, you know, what we're reminded. We put our brothers home this morning, we read Psalm 22, and it opens up a little, you know, as to what the Saviour suffered. You read that, you read it quietly, and you're just amazed. Your heart goes out to the Saviour. You know that he went that way. We shall never fully understand what it's cost the Lord Jesus to secure us, to secure one soul, to secure me, to secure you. What it's cost the Lord Jesus to go to Calvary and to bear the holy wrath of God against sin. It was all poured upon the head of Jesus. He was made sin on the cross. He was made sin, and that we might go free. Therefore, he's spoken now of the mediator of God and men. It's beautiful. The one man, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of God and men. So God can speak from off the mercy seat tonight, to know, you know, it's so wonderful. God is free to offer full and free salvation to the simplest believer in Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking himself as the good shepherd. And he says later on that my sheep hear my voice. I believe this is a word perhaps for us all. He speaks about those who do not believe. He said they're not of his sheep, but he said my sheep hear my voice. And it's a wonderful thing to hear his voice at any time. To hear it in the gospel, but to hear it any time. We were reminded this morning in the Song of Songs, you know, the one that says, you know, the voice of my beloved, behold. Oh, the voice of Jesus is wonderful. You think of what the voice of the Lord Jesus will be when he comes to call his own away. We're looking for the rapture. We preach the gospel tonight in the light of the coming of the Lord. We preach the gospel in the light of his coming for his own. There's not much time left. And yet this good shepherd is still, you know, he's still speaking. And he's still calling attention to himself as the one who is the saviour of sinners, and the one who would appeal to our hearts as having gone into death, the one who laid down his life in our stead. May our hearts be affected, dear hearers. We know we've heard it before, but may the Lord Jesus just speak to our hearts that he laid down his life in our stead. It's not been easy. The redemption of the soul is costly. That just puts it in a nutshell, really, that a redemption of the soul is costly. And the good shepherd, he went the whole way and laid down his life in our stead. And then he says, you're secure. That's a great thing, you know, to feel secure. The world we're in, you know, even outwardly, many persons don't feel secure. But it's good to feel secure inwardly. And you can't be secure, you know, without you've got a link with the Saviour. There's no stability. There's no security without trusting the Saviour. If you've got Christ, if you've got the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour, you're secure for time and eternity. Wonderful thing. And the Lord, he would assure us tonight, he says that they shall never perish. You think of that. When we're all on the way to perishing, all on the way to hell, I suppose, really. And yet the Lord has stepped in and given us the certainty as we've trusted him, that they shall never perish and no one shall seize them out of my hand. You think of being safe, you know, in the Lord's hand. We have that old hymn, don't we? Safe in the arms of Jesus. How safe we are. We need security. You know, you see it on placards, you see it on vans, you see all kinds of things relating to security in these days. Everybody's securing the premises, securing the house, securing everything, but they're not concerned often about getting security in our souls. And the way to get security, you know, is trusting in the Saviour. the one who laid down his life in our stead. So the Lord says that no one shall seize them. You think of what the devil's after all the time. You boys and girls, you think of being safe in the arms of Jesus, and the devil doing all he can perhaps, and he says no one can seize them. It's tremendous, you know, really. What security it is. No one can seize them out of my hand. And he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. I and the Father are one. You know, it introduces us into a wonderful sphere. As a believer in Jesus, you know, God will give you the Spirit, and you've got an immediate link with heaven. It's the truth of the gospel that just as soon as you believe, God give you the Spirit, and you've got a living link with a man in the glory, and you're able to, in your heart and in your link with the Lord, he would also introduce you to the Father. You think of that? The Lord says here that my Father is greater than my Father's given to me is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. What security, isn't it? We want to do what is right in a practical way in regard to security. You know, it's only right to lock your house, only right now to lock your car. But you want security inwardly, and that's what the Lord is after in the gospel. God is after that we need to be secure, that you're not wavering, you're not saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen. If I died tonight, what's going to happen? Are you secure? Have you got a link, you know, with a Savior? Are you going to glory? Are you going to be with Jesus? You know, we need to take these things home to ourselves. We don't want to frighten one another. God doesn't frighten people. But you know, the time is coming when these matters are they're very real to everyone. They're very real to every man, woman and child in the world. But where are we going? Are we secure in regard to our eternal salvation? And you have the shepherd here, and he tell you tonight, the good shepherd, you know, he's not only just a shepherd, but he's a good shepherd. And he would tell you tonight that he's done everything in view of your salvation, your preservation. And if you trust him, he says, I'll take care of you. He says, you can be in my hand, and no one will seize you out of my hand, and no one will seize you out of the hand of my Father. So that whether you're 5, 6, 80 or 90 tonight, you know, you're safe in the hands of Christ, safe in the Father's hands. What a comfort it is. And so as you come to Psalm 23, you find that there's a man there who knows what he's talking about, and he's able to speak to us about his experience with God, as it were, with Jehovah as his shepherd, what he'd proved in his life. And he said, Jehovah's my shepherd. Can we all say that tonight, that the Lord is my shepherd? Can we? Do we want to take our own way? Would we rather be in the hands of Christ? Would we like to serve him? Would we like to be available to him? He says, the Lord is my, Jehovah is my shepherd. And he says, if he's my shepherd, he said, I shall not want. Well, that's a test for all of us, isn't it? We want this, we want that, and we want the other. Some people are never satisfied, they say, you know. And Psalmist says, the Lord, Jehovah is my shepherd. He said, if I've got Jehovah as my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he says, he makes me to lie down, you know. He's got a restful area of things that you can enjoy. Enjoyed it today. You want to enjoy it more? The Lord says, I'll give it to you. I'll bring you into good pasture. And you won't want the things of the world. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. You know, they're very wonderful to be led by still waters. The way the Lord would keep us and preserve us in relation to his love and all that love would provide. And he says, he restoreth my soul. That's a fine thing, you know, in the gospel, because we all need the gospel. And the gospel always has recovery in mind. The word of God, the preaching of the gospel, God has in mind man's recovery. And it involves the recovery of believers too. I suppose even what we referred to in Luke 15, it was a sheep that was lost, and it was a silver piece that was lost, and it was a son that had gone off. So that we as believers, you know, we sometimes need recovering, and the gospel helps us, you know, because it's by way of repentance. And the truth of the gospel is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true for the believer, and it's true for the unbeliever, that if we've got a way as a believer, there's a way back, and the way back is by way of repentance. So Luke 15 says, the joy in heaven, presence of the angels of God over one repenting sinner. Well, I think that should mark us all. And the psalmist here, he says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Well, I think that's very, it's testing, but it's wonderful if we can find that, you know, in any measure, that we know it's true of the Lord, that he wouldn't lead us in paths of unrighteousness, but he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I believe that would be in view of the testimony here, that the Lord would lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he goes on, whatever situation you're in, even passing through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I won't fear because thou art with me. I think it's one of the most wonderful features of Christianity, is that you can know the Lord as near. One of the greatest comforts, I think, of being a believer, is that you can know by the Spirit, you can know the Lord Jesus near. Great comfort when we're young, comfort when we're old. It is comfort when we're weak in our bodies, that you can know that the Lord is near. And he says that even through the valley of the shadow of death, because thou art with me. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemy. Whatever the situation down here, you see, he'll provide. That's a great thing with the shepherd of the sheep. And it has a great part, you know. We've got sheep at home, and it's one of the great parts of shepherding, really, is feeding. It's feeding the sheep. Often it's easy to neglect them. And also the changing of pasture, you know, putting on some new pastures. But also feeding is most important, especially when you've got the lambs. And the Lord is able, you know, for whatever situation down here. Part of the gospel, isn't it? The Lord doesn't bless you. He doesn't forgive you and then throw you on the scrap heap, the world's scrap heap. The Lord sees you through. You can be preserved in his hand and in the Father's hand. And he says, whatever the situation, he said, the Lord will be with me. Then he goes on to say, thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I suppose in a sense he marks you out, you know. He gives you the Spirit, and he causes you to be happy. I suppose the believer should be happy as having the Spirit and in the touch with the Lord on high. We're able to rejoice. You may say, well, there's plenty to cause us concern, plenty to cause us to be unhappy, but he says, thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Then he goes on to say, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. This is really the words of a Christian. What should be the words of those who believe? Thou wilt follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of days. Well, may we be encouraged. Begins, you know, that psalm does, Jehovah's my shepherd. Is he shepherd? Do you know him, every one of us? Do we know him as our Saviour? Our Saviour, shepherd, friend. Do we know him as the one that has died for us? The one that has taken our sins and borne them in his own body on the tree? Do we know him in that way? Do we know him as the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus living? People don't understand. Many people don't understand that the one who died lives again. He's not on the cross now, but he's in the glory. He's living on high. You wish you could get it over, you know, to persons. What's impressed me of recent times is how little people are concerned about their soul's welfare. They just pass it off. Just think, oh, well, we hope for the best, you know. But the Lord didn't say that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, and I died for the sake of the flock. And he died for us. He laid down his life that we may not go out by way of death as a result of the wages of sin. But he's borne it all. Well, he's a wonderful Saviour, isn't he? The younger we trust him, you know, the better. And the more we trust him as we get older, the better. The more we have a sense of his keeping, his preserving, his stability, and the security that he would bring into our souls as having a living link with his glorious Saviour. So may we know him, not only trust him as our Saviour, but know him in this way as our Shepherd, the one who would take care of us, the one who provides for us, the one who will feed us. Think of the feeding of the Lord Jesus. Think of how he opens his hand, you know, and feeds his own, feeds the saints. Maketh me to lie down, you know, in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. May this characterize our localities, you know, this kind of thing, that there's food among the saints. And there's this kind of not only stability, but he leadeth me beside still waters. The restfulness that the Lord would bring in as the one who loves us, and the one who loves us as the one who lives on high and provides everything for us down here. What provision this little psalm brings in, you know, and we can each take it on individually, that the Lord is the great provider, as the one who's not only saved us, but the one who lives for us on high. And if we get away, he's the one who can restore. He restoreth my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. May we be preserved, dear friends, dear brethren, in these paths of righteousness. We're in an unrighteous, wicked world. May we be preserved. And he alone is the one that will preserve us. May we be preserved in our links with this glorious Saviour. Our link, you know, is by the Spirit. May we be preserved in communion. I've been thinking of this over this weekend, that the joy of communion with divine persons. And you can speak to your Saviour on high. He's not a long way off. Jesus is not a long way off. You can know him as your Saviour, your Shepherd, your Friend. And you can speak to him at any time of the day or night. And he's there. He's near at hand. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. May he become in an increasing way our Shepherd, Saviour, Shepherd and Friend. For his name's sake.